Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah! It's NHL playoff time. It's ECHL playoff time. It's playoff hockey time, my dudes, my dudettes. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Radio Show begins hour number three right this very second. And oh, what a pleasant surprise we have lined up for you now, because making his Rob Brown Show debut this AM, just hours before the Greenville Swamp Rabbits begin their quest for the ECHL Kelly Cup, he is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. He is Mark Benetti joining us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Oh, buddy, I'm ready to go with an intro like that. To put me in the lineup, I'll tear down a brick wall with my bare hands right now. That's awesome.
Listen, I'm not saying that I don't get hype. I stay hype. It doesn't matter if we're here on the show. It doesn't matter if we're in the well on a Sunday afternoon for a little playoff hockey. When the boys are on the ice and the Kelly Cup is in view, Mark Benetti, you got to make a little noise, pal.
Oh, absolutely. That's what the playoffs are all about. Everything becomes real if the previous 72 games weren't already. And it, you know, the intensity ratchets up a notch. One mistake, one shot, one goal, one save, it all makes a difference because your margin of error is that much smaller. So very excited to see what this team is capable of accomplishing and just being along to tell the story.
Let's talk a little bit about this team, Mark. Let's talk a little bit about how we got here. First time in like a lot of years that the Greenville Swamp Rabbits will enter as a one seed as the South Division champs. And it's a good division, man. Florida, Jacksonville, a couple of very good teams. Greenville had a little slump down the stretch, but came on fire during the last weekend, made sure to lock in that one seed. What can you tell me about this team and how they kind of adjusted and came out of that slump in time to make sure they locked down the South Division championship?
Well, this team has always been predicated on its structure and doing things the right way. And that comes down from Coach Lord, Coach Mountain, Coach Pease, and then our support staff echoing that message. It's a team that they play well 5-on-5. They're very structured on the penalty kill. Their power play started to get back on the horse towards the end of the year, but their power play was lethal at times and proved to ultimately be the difference in a lot of games. So it's a team that also got very comfortable playing in tight contests. The Swamp Rabbits led the league with 25 wins in one-goal games, which I think is an awesome precursor and warm-up to the playoffs, where, again, the margin for error is so small, and it could come down to one goal, one shot, one save. And this team got very comfortable playing in games where it got tight towards the end. So it's a team that is resilient, it's deep, it's skilled, and very well structured. And, you know, to your point, they're coming out of what I consider to be the best division in the league. Rob, the South Carolina Stingrays had 39 wins this year. They had 5 wins less than the Swamp Rabbits. They're sitting on a couch at home. They didn't make the bracket. So if that tells you anything about this division, how deep it was, how skilled it was, I mean, whoever comes out of this division has a chance to really make some serious noise. And this first round against Orlando is going to be very special.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show, and the fan ups that you mentioned, Lordo there. I've had the chance, obviously, the last couple of years to work with Lordo and talk about a not just a character, because, I mean, the dude loves coaching, loves this team, loves having a good time. But, and you mentioned it in the press conference the other day, a dude that has everything drilled down, the procedures, the order of operations, everything, and it led to him being named the ECHL Coach of the Year this year. Talk to me a little bit about Lordo. Talk to me a little bit about who he is as a coach and why he has been so important to what the Rabbits have become.
He is a detail-oriented man. He's a very intense man, especially when it comes to the game of hockey. I very rarely have I seen somebody take the game more seriously than he does. And his success on the ice shows it. His dedication to getting players out in the community off the ice is showcased even further there. He's a guy that gets it from the ultimate leader standpoint. I think when you look at the course of his hockey career, when he played in the ECHL, when he played in Cardiff, he was a captain with Wheeling, so he knows what it takes to lead a locker room as a player. He was the modern-day Reggie Dunlop, if you will, because when he was in Cardiff, he was a player coach at one point and had to hold a whiteboard when he was on the bench and then take a draw 2 seconds later. He's somebody that when he became a head coach, he found a way to effectively lead men, and it led to 221 wins in Europe over 6 years. And then he came here, and he has 155 wins in 4 seasons, and as you had mentioned, the John Brophy CHL Coach of the Year. He's somebody that, when it comes to structure, he doesn't just say that as a buzzword. He sets everything up to a structure, and it's not just on the ice. It's a procedure of how you rest, how you recuperate, how you consume information, how you apply that information in practice, in games, all these different things. And so couldn't be more proud to work with a gentleman of his caliber. It's been a privilege. Since even meeting him day one in this building 4 years ago, I was visiting from Rapid City in Charlotte and got to come down and pop in and see the Greenville staff and see him his first day, boots on the ground. And from that moment on, it's been an absolute privilege to know him and get to work with him. And I can't wait to see what else he accomplishes this year.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show with us this year. Mark, you know, anybody who's paid attention to hockey for any length of time are going to tell you that in the playoffs, you win and lose on goaltending. I mean, you got to put the puck in the net, but you win and lose based on goaltending. A couple of goalies that have rotated in and out this year between Luke Richardson, Jacob Ingham, and Ryan Bednard. I have enjoyed getting the chance to watch all three play. Can you talk to me a little bit about the goaltending group and what each of them brings individually and what you expect them to bring in the playoffs?
Well, they bring depth. That's the biggest thing. You know, you can't get by with enough goaltending here, and everybody brings a similar intensity to the position because of how they carry themselves as a professional. I think the biggest thing with goaltending is the biggest cliche in sports. You can't get too high, you can't get too low. You've got to, you know, ride the momentum even keel. And you see that with these goaltenders. Starting off with Jacob Ingham, this is somebody who over the last 2 years has dealt with hell on earth, and he has dealt with adversity. He was out pretty much all of last year dealing with an injury and things of that nature. The guy battled back to almost 20 wins this season with the Swamp Rabbits, 20 overall when you include 17 with the Swamp Rabbits, 3 with the Ontario Reign in the AHL, and he earned a National Hockey League contract. That doesn't just come because you're in the right place at the right time. That comes because of the effort that you put in, the dedication to your craft that you put in to come back from adversity, to come back from a tough situation, and find excellence and success on the ice. When you look at Ryan Bednard, somebody who came red hot out of the gate, he won his first 7 games of the year, then a little bit snake bitten, got right back on the horse, rightfully earned an all-star nod to backstop the ECHL All-Stars against the Savannah Ghost Pirates this year in the All-Star Classic. Somebody who buys into what the culture of Greenville is, the culture of what Andrew Lord has set forth. 5 years as a pro, 4 years in Greenville, and he continues to want to come back here. I think that says a lot to his acumen, both as a hockey player and somebody who gets what being in the right place can mean for your position in net. And then Luke Richardson, somebody who, as we announced at the playoff kickoff party the other night at Harley-Davidson in Greenville, someone who was, because of our goaltending depth, relegated to a third goaltending position. And someone who in a year plus with the Swamp Rabbits, Rob, has only lost 1 game in regulation. He's 9-1-1 in 14 games. And when number 31's been called upon, whether he's played 20 games in a row, whether he hasn't played in a month and a half because of injury or having to back up Ryan or Jacob, he's come in and he's shut the door and done well. You got to remember, too, I believe you were there for it. I don't see why you wouldn't have been there for it. But he was the backstopper when the Swamp Rabbits clinched the South Division title. 35 saves on 36 shots, and it was his first game played since February 17th. So the guys are intense. They're dialed. They're locked in. They bring just about anything you could think of to the goaltending position, whether it's respect to size, athleticism, or how they go about their craft.
We're talking to Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. They get their playoffs underway on Sunday just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena against the Orlando Solar Bears. I want to look at the Solar Bears and what this first round series matchup looks like, Mark. But before we get there, from your perspective, I think the biggest challenge that a guy like Andrew Lord, somebody coaching at this level, has to deal with is the constant turnover on the roster. I'm not just talking year to year. I'm talking frequently game to game. You got stretches where you got a guy like Nikita Pavlicek, and then he gets called up to Ontario. You've got guys that are up and down all season long. How does a team like Greenville develop chemistry to not just win the division, but to have success in the Kelly Cup playoffs when that roster change has been so much? And for fans that will be at the well for games 1 and 2 Sunday, Monday, and then hopefully on a deep playoff run for Greenville this year, can you talk to me about some of the guys you expect we may see that maybe we didn't see for stretches of the season that'll be involved?
So with respect to building chemistry, I think that comes to, again, the structure of how Coach Lord sets things up. And I think it all starts in practice. Another cliche, but it's the absolute truth with this team. It starts in practice. You know, you've got to be ready to go at a moment's notice in sports. When your number's called, you've got to get up and ready to go. That starts in practice. If you're not dialed in practice, if you're not creating a chemistry in practice to the point where if your number's called in a game, you have to play and really show up for it, things aren't going to go your way. Things aren't going to go the team's way. So I think there's a foundation set with the identity of this team that when you do put that practice jersey on, you know you have just as good a chance as anybody else in the lineup to get in at any night, and then that's your time to shine. And so I think that's how you build that chemistry, especially in the revolving door that is minor professional hockey, where you are playing musical chairs. You get called up. You get set down. There are trades. There are all these different things. And again, it really just comes down to how much you want to be a pro, how much you carry yourself as a pro, and that builds that chemistry over time. As far as seeing guys in the lineup, you'll see the usual suspects of the, you know, the Josh McKechnies, Carter Sutches, and on the back end too, you know, the JD Greenways, Max Martins and whatnot. It's interesting because of how things are going to work now with this roster, the American Hockey League, the NHL starting their playoffs as well. Are you going to get guys? If you do, when are you going to get them? And what does that look like? So as far as that's concerned, I'm honestly not too sure because the AHL still has to finish up its regular season. Then they start their run for the Calder Cup playoffs. Ontario is still in a battle right now for where they're going to be in the bracket. The last time I checked in the AHL, there's about a 6-point separation between second place and seventh place. So tomorrow they could have home ice advantage. An hour later, they couldn't. And it's just a fun game of musical chairs at that point in the standings. But I'm interested to see, you know, there's an opportunity that Pavlicek, Bednar, Wiley, or Francis could come down, but it all depends on what Ontario does, what the vibe is, and just kind of go from there at that.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Let's take a look at this first round matchup, which puck drop is at 3:05 on Sunday afternoon. The Orlando Solar Bears, of course, entering this bracket as the 4th seed out of the South Division. I know Lordo said that Greenville and Orlando have a lot in common. They can win games with really efficient hockey, but if it gets ugly, if it gets scrappy, if it gets dirty, they can get down and win a game like that as well. Give me your overall view of what this Orlando team is and what Greenville can look forward to.
You know, it's funny that you said 4th seed there. And yes, you are correct. Orlando's coming in as the 4 in the South Division. They're not playing like a 4. They're not playing like a bottom seed. These guys won 9 out of their last 13 games to get in the playoffs. And 9-2-2 in that stretch. So they got points in 11 out of 13, and they won 9 of them. This is a team that has all the confidence in the world. They were written off a month and a half ago and found a way on game 72 against Reading, pulling the goaltender, needing a regulation win in a 0-0 hockey game, and they got their playoff clinching goal with the extra attacker and 27 seconds left in regulation. So this is a team, like you said, when it gets scrappy, they can do it just as well as the Swamp Rabbits can. I'm excited to see this matchup because of those similarities. Both teams are deep. They can skate really well. Both teams are phenomenal on the penalty kill. Orlando finished, I believe, this year as number 2 in the ECHL, hovering right around 85%. And every time I saw them from when I took over in January to this point, I don't think they dipped below 83. And so it's a team that, again, is very used to playing tight checking hockey, very used to playing tight games where a penalty kill can win or lose it for you. They very rarely allow power play goals. So I'm very interested to see how it goes there. The speed of the game is obviously going to be huge. Both teams can skate up front. They've got a great blend, good veteran presence on the back end, and their goaltending right now is red hot. Evan Fitzpatrick looked like a brick wall a couple of weeks ago and continues to do so. Former Greenville Swamp Rabbit, and looks like he's going to be the guy leading them out of the gate to start off this series. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. But, you know, seven games head-to-head this year. Three of them were played 2 weeks ago head-to-head. There's no secrets between both of these teams. Maybe a different character in the roster here or there, but you know exactly what you need to know coming into the series, and I'm curious to see how it all plays out.
I think I know the answer to this, Mark Benetti, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If Greenville wins this series, whether it's in four or seven, if Greenville wins this series, it is because they blank.
It's because they stayed defensively structured. I think that's the ultimate key to this is defense wins you championships. But in a series like this, where you've got a team like Orlando that can skate, they love to try and generate in transition. They love to generate with their speed. You've got to be able to win the tight game. And I think this Greenville team is fully equipped with that. Again, 25-3-4-1 in one goal games this year. The team had 44 wins. Over half of them came when it was that much of a nail biter. You want to go even further out, two goal games, because those can get pretty dicey too. The Swamp Rabbits only had 10 of those and they won six of them. So 31 of their 44 wins came within two goals or less, as narrow as the game can get. You can find a way to win those tight games, play solid defense, make life easier for your goaltender, and stay out of the penalty box. Good things are going to come.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits get their ECHL Kelly Cup playoff run underway. Round one against the four seed Orlando Solar Bears. That game Sunday at 3:05 in the afternoon. They will turn it around and spin back game number two on Monday evening at 7:05. Both of those games at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Mark, my man, welcome to the show. Great to have you, bud. I know we're going to be doing it again, and hopefully for the next few weeks on a run to a Kelly Cup, partner.
Your mouth to God's ears, my man. Thank you so much for the time.
You got it. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. When we come back, a longtime vet. Those of you that have come out, whether it was to Legacy Early College in years gone by, Paladin Stadium the last couple, you have seen this beautiful bald head running around the pitch, Tyler Pollock. Longtime vet of the Greenville Triumph joins us next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The Rob Brown Radio Show is on the air. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, and the great one, Lonzo. And now, we welcome back to the airways, first time this season, but a longtime veteran, not just of the Greenville Triumph, ladies and gentlemen, but a longtime guest of the Rob Brown Show, and we are glad to have him back on the air. If you have visited Legacy Early College back in the day, if you have been to Paladin Stadium the last couple of years, you have seen the beautiful bald head of this man running around in the defensive backfield for your, my, our Greenville Triumph. Tyler Pollock joins us on the radio program. Tyler, what's up, fella? How you doing, big dog?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure, bud. First off, congratulations on a hell of a start to the season for you and the fellas, man. Good jump out of the gate in the Rick Wright era.
Yeah, it feels good. Obviously, a couple losses right now, but we're going to bounce back. We got a game on Sunday, so we're looking forward to another opportunity to like I said, bounce back.
No doubt about it. And I want to start with the U.S. Open Cup because you guys made a lot of noise, I think, and certainly the fans think that just kind of a bad draw really through every round, a very, very good Louisville squad that you guys had to go on the road and stare down earlier this week. Talk to me a little bit about how important that cup run was and kind of what the motivation was to go out there and perform, even if it didn't end necessarily the way we wanted it to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good experience for some of the younger guys to get some minutes in that kind of tournament, in that kind of environment, in that stadium. I thought it was a really good showing for everybody. I thought we played really well. Unfortunately, the result doesn't always follow that. But I thought we held our own. I think we kind of made a statement and let people know that we're still a very, very good team and just getting better as the season goes on.
I mean, you guys obviously have been hanging out at the top of and around the USL One table all season long in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Again, out to a great start. How important was it for you guys as right now a four-way tie at the top of the table between Richmond, Tormenta, Chattanooga? How important was it for you guys to get out to a hot start under Rick Wright?
Yeah, I mean, I think despite any coach, we obviously wanted to make Rick happy, but and the fans too. So you're trying every year to start out as best as possible so you're not playing catch-up through the middle or end of the season. And I think, you know, the guys we've brought in and the staff he's brought in as well has been just tremendous. You can see that things are clicking on the field based on that. So we're just trying to ride that high and just kind of keep things going and hopefully build a little gap between the rest of the teams and keep going.
We got a text just a minute ago, Tyler, from Carpool Mom, and it's a question I planned on asking you anyway because I've asked all the boys that have come on the show as of late. You obviously qualified to answer this question maybe more than anybody else on the squad in the transition from John Harkes to Rick Wright. I mean, Rick coached under John in Greenville for those years, takes over. There's going to be similarities. There's going to be differences. From your perspective, what are some of the biggest similarities and differences that you guys have had to adjust to during the coaching change?
I mean, I think he's done a very good job as far as just letting the guys know that it's not just his team, but it's our team as well. And I think he's given us some freedom to kind of just go out there and express ourselves. He's week in and week out put out, you know, strong teams that the connection's there, the chemistry's there. And I think that's shown at our hot start. As far as differences, I mean, I think he's got a good relationship with John. So I think he's kind of taken some of the quirks and stuff like that and brought it along, and we still have a core group. So I wouldn't say there's that much of a difference besides just him giving us a lot of freedom and letting us do our thing out there, which I think has been very beneficial as people have seen.
Tyler Pollock, defender for the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. One of the things that fans have noticed, obviously, Tyler, has been the roster change. I mean, you've got a very different core group of guys out there, a nice mix of vets like you and Brandon Fricke. You've got young guys like Zion Scarlett, Sebastian Velasquez making his debut for the team this year. How has chemistry building for you guys in the dressing room been this year to take a healthy mix of new and old, a healthy mix of vets and young guys making their pro debut? How have you guys made sure that all the players in the dressing room are on the same page?
Yeah, I mean, it's been honestly pretty seamless. I think everyone's gotten along right off the rip. It's just a good group of guys. We got in some more supporting roles that we needed. Even bringing Choppa in, he's been a huge step up in the midfield, breaking up plays, and then also building out of the back. It's been huge. And I think a lot of guys have a lot of confidence going into each game because we have that chemistry. We have a lot of Spanish-speaking guys now, so they have a little group, and I'm doing my best to be on Duolingo and try to stay involved, make sure they're not making fun of me or anything. So it's been good. It's been really good. It's a lot of fun. It's been a good year so far. We just keep hoping to keep on that high.
Did you remember to do your lesson today before that little annoying ass owl pops up with that text, Tyler? Did you remember to get your lesson in yet today?
I haven't yet. I got to have my morning coffee first before I let things, let things settle in.
Listen, nobody understands that better than me, my guy. Tyler Pollock from the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me, Tyler, a little bit about the importance of the season. I'm not just necessarily talking about the perspective of Rick Wright, but obviously you guys for every year have been in the USL League One Cup playoffs. The only team that can say that. There was the championship a couple of years ago to put the first star on the crest. Last couple of years, maybe things not ending in the playoffs the way that you ultimately wanted them to. Is there any pressure on you guys this year or any more than usual to go out there and find that success and bring another USL League One Cup home back to Greenville?
I wouldn't say it's as much pressure. I think it's just, you know, obviously our end goal is to win another championship. Winning it during the COVID season, I think it kind of made us a little more hungry to, you know, win it again. And I think you said it right. We've been slipping a little bit as far as, you know, how we wanted the results to go in playoffs. So I think more for us, we want to make the city happy, the fans happy, and bring another championship home, because that's the ultimate goal. And I think with this team and this year, I think we can do it. We definitely have a very good chance.
You brought it up a minute ago. You guys on the road at Tormenta coming up on Sunday, a 7:30 kick. This has been, at least for us, the fans, developing over the last couple of years into a nice little rivalry, almost hitting derby quality. For y'all as players, whether it is Richmond or Tormenta or Ford Madison, are there teams, Tyler, be 100 with me here, are there teams that you guys as players look at as rivals, like this one matters a little bit more?
I think so. I mean, definitely. When you look at Tormenta, for whatever reason, in the past, they've given us some trouble. And so we take that to heart. And I think the new guys know that coming in, that this is not going to be an easy game. I mean, no game is going to be easy. So I think every game is going to be a challenge, and especially Tormenta. They just won in the Open Cup, so they're going to be riding a high. So we need to make sure we're on our A game and get things done, because we need to get back to the winning ways.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about how you changed that mentality, because, yes, the unbeaten streak came to an end against Charlotte. Again, a tough loss against a very good Louisville team. This is the first time this year, and I know it is very early in the season, Tyler, but the first time this year that it's kind of felt like maybe there's some adversity building. How do you guys make sure you stay nose to the grindstone, get through this, and get back to the rhythm you want to be on?
Yeah, I mean, Rick said it in the locker room, there's going to be games where we think we should be winning, we don't. And there's going to be games that we probably shouldn't win, and we do. So we just got to stay even keel and go out with a better attitude. I think we need to start stronger. Obviously, in Louisville, we gave up a goal a minute in, which really hindered us a lot, and we're just playing catch-up. So I think we have a strong start to the game on Sunday. I think things are going to go our way for sure.
All right, last one. Tyler Pollock, defender for the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. For three seasons now, Tyler, the Reedy River Riot and those idiots on the drums up front have been screaming tarps off for Tyler whenever you bury one. My man, we're waiting. When's it coming? When's it happening? When are we going to get that first Tyler Pollock scream from the PA guy at Paladin Stadium?
Well, it's got to be at home for sure. So definitely not Sunday. I'll leave it for a home game. So maybe even that Ford Madison or Richmond game, May 4th or May 18th. I think that might be a good time. My birthday's around that time. So why not do it then, you know?
My man, listen, you are one of the most unselfish players I have ever seen. It's okay if you want to tee one up and blast it through the strings, bud.
I might have to. Don't tempt me. So I mean, I'll be ready over there with you guys with the shirts off. So
listen,
I'm excited.
I absolutely am going to tempt you, Tyler. The entire stadium's pulling for it. Tyler Pollock, defender for the Greenville Triumph. They are on the road this Sunday taking on Tormenta, trying to get back in the dub category. Tyler, you're the man, big dog. Appreciate you, fella.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
You know it. We'll catch you around. Tyler Pollock, veteran defender for the Greenville Triumph, on the road this Sunday against Tormenta. They will return back to Paladin Stadium the weekend after that. It is soccer night in the upstate on April 27th when the Richmond Kickers come to town. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've been a lot of places in this job. I've been a lot of places because I like to travel. I don't think, no, scratch that. I know that of all the places I have been, we are so lucky not just to have multiple levels of professional sports and multiple professional sports. But I can say this with all sincerity. To have local sports franchises, organizations that care, that want to be a part of the everyday life of the community. Go downtown to any of the events that take place, and you will see a Greenville Swamp Rabbits table. You will see a Greenville Triumph table. The Triumph could absolutely pay dramatically less money to not have their headquarters on Main Street in downtown Greenville. But they do. Do you know why they do that? It's so that the access to the team is right there in the heart of the city. If you go to Fall for Greenville or any of the incredible festivals that we have throughout the course of the year in the GVL side of things, and I'm coming to you next, the Berg. If you go to any of those festivals, I know this for a fact because I do, you will see the Swamp Rabbits there. You will see Stomper there. You will see them out there handing out swag and handing out merch and giving away tickets and whatnot. They invest. It's fantastic. We got an email and a press release earlier this week from the new Spartanburg baseball team. And they said that they are going to be unveiling the name and the logo of the team coming up on May 11th. And they will be doing so as a part of a major block party taking place around the baseball stadium in downtown Spartanburg. Now, I have been in cities when teams have had this moment before. I have been in places when teams have put out their new branding or new design or new logo or new team name or new jerseys or whatever. And 90% of the time that this happens, the team does it in a way that is closed to the public. They do it in a way where it is media and press only. And the reason they do that is because they want to have their fingers wrapped around how the messaging is distributed. Which, don't get me wrong, I work in sports. It's wildly important for local teams that they are in control of their branding and their imaging and their messaging and all that. But the teams in this area, and I credit Tyson Jeffers and the new Spartanburg team for doing this, but I also think to some degree, they are leaning on what has been done by the Drive and the Triumph and the Swamp Rabbits and Furman and Wofford in recognizing and realizing that being a part of the community, not just in it, but actively participating in it, is a win-win situation for everybody. I've told this story before. I've said this before. When I got flown up here in February of 2020 to do my three-day audition or two-day audition, whatever it was, when I got brought up here to audition for the show, and to get this job. I stayed in an Airbnb downtown. And when I checked in, I got here, got off the plane. I went straight to the Airbnb. I wanted to explore. The first day I flew in at like noon. I had basically the whole day to explore the area. I flew in. I checked into my Airbnb. And once I checked into my Airbnb and I set all my stuff down, I walked into the kitchen, grabbed myself a nice little glass of water after a long, hard day of travel. And on the fridge in an Airbnb was a magnet for something called the Greenville Triumph. And I was like, what's this? It's a cool logo. I like it. What is it? So I looked it up. Well, you know it. Pro soccer team right here in the GVL. Yeah. And so I started researching and I said, oh, it's cool. If I get this job, I get to cover a local soccer team. That's awesome. And then I got the job and I moved up here. And the day that I started my first show on air here, which was March, I think March 1st of 2020, my first day here, I got a phone call from the fellas at the Greenville Triumph, Chris Lewis, Doug Irwin, those guys. Hey, man, welcome to the area. We'd love to get the chance to meet you, to talk to you. And don't get me wrong, yes, they want all the access they can get on the air. Every sports team does. There's nothing wrong with that. But they made sure that it was a welcoming message. They made sure it was a, hey, welcome to the area. We got a great sports community, and we want you to know we're part of it. We want you to be part of it with us. And I have been a diehard since. Within 3 days of that, I got hooked up with the folks at the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. I got hooked up with Tim Vieira and the gang over there. And they called and said, hey, man, welcome to the area. We are glad you're here. We want you to be part of what we do, and we want to be part of what you do. Have been great with them ever since. Have been the in-arena MC for the Swamp Rabbits for 2 seasons now. It's one of my favorite things to do. Lonzo loves to point out that I got like 39, 11 jobs. And I do. That one I do because I love it. That one I do because it is genuinely a great time. And they put on a hell of a show, and I'm glad to be a part of it. The Greenville Drive. Last year, I served as the in-arena MC for the Greenville Drive at their baseball games. Had a phenomenal time. Had to apologize to them for not being able to come back and do it again. It wasn't because I don't want to. It's because of how many weeknight games that they have that end at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. Unfortunately, if I wasn't doing the morning gig, if I was still in the afternoons, I'd have done it again. But they reached out, said, hey, we want to be a part of it. The folks over at Furman, Drew Ingraham, Jason, those guys have been phenomenal with us. I can call Drew Ingraham right now and go, hey, my guy, I need X. And he'll go, I'll call you back in 5. And he will. We asked for something to hang on the wall here at the studio. I think we asked for like a pennant or something. My man, they sent over a bag. We got flags, we got scarves, we got banners, we had t-shirts. They hooked us up. They care. They want to be invested. They're everywhere as well. Wofford's done the same. SC Upstate has had us over there for remotes for basketball games. It's been great. I know many of you understand. But for those of you that do not, the most frustrating thing in this job is when I can't put into words what I want to communicate to you, and I don't know that I can hear. Just know this. I have been a lot of places. I have broadcasted in a lot of places. Fort Walton Beach, Destin, Pensacola, Mobile, Baton Rouge, Jacksonville. I have, around the Southeast, I have either lived in or broadcasted a lot of places. And everywhere we broadcast, just like I do here, I make sure I'm there. I make sure I go to those places and get invested. It is one of the things I told the guys when I got the job here. I promise you, one of the things you won't have to worry about, I will have a good working relationship with every local team in the area. And I think I do. I have been a lot of places. I have broadcasted a lot of places. And I will tell you that never in my going on 18, this football season will be 18 years I've been in this gig. Never have I lived in or broadcasted a place, including Pensacola, with all due respect to the teams down there in the 850. I'm an 850 kid. Have been, will stay. Even in my hometown of Pensacola, I have never been in a place where the local teams want to be involved, want to be a part of it, want to be part of what is happening in the community, want to invest back in the community. We are fortunate for that. I don't know if that comes across. If you're not big into the local sports, it might not. But I have said to y'all many times and many times again, there are certain things that form the fabric of every community. Art, music, food, and sports. To me, those four things, all the other things, jobs, employment, all that, that's all important. Infrastructure, that's all important. But what forms the fabric of the community, and when I say the community, I mean the people in it, the people. Art, music, food, and sports. Those form what I call culture. And the culture of the upstate. I'm talking about Spartanburg, I'm talking about Greenville, and I'm talking about every community that wraps around them. Sports is fantastic. It is. It is why I can bring up anything and I get text about that thing from local high school alums. Like Spartanburg Jay earlier, I asked who's the best bad guy in sports, and we got into a conversation about sports rivalries, and he said, I graduated from Dorman. To this day, I don't have a friend that went to Spartanburg High. Bleep him. I love that. All right? I don't love that he does. It's okay to make friends with your rivals, but I love that the rivalry runs that deep.
Is it?
Yes. It's okay. It doesn't mean you don't talk unending amounts of to them.
As long as by friendship, you mean friend of me and know that there's always going to be a little something underneath.
There's always going to be a little something in our conversations, for sure. You guys see him on the stream every now and then. My boy Brandon, one of my favorite people in life from back down in Florida. Love this kid like a brother. He's a Falcons fan. If you don't think that a majority of our conversations don't begin and or end with, hey, bud, I gotta go. I just want you to remember there's like somewhere between 28 and 3 reasons that I love you, dog. Like, it's never gonna stop. But that is part of, to me, what has made this place so incredible since I moved here. It is the fact that the organizations, the sports community that it revolves around cares. They care. They want to invest. They want to be invested. They want to invest in the community. They want the community to invest in them. And when they do, it's spectacular. We as a community are fortunate for that, and I mean it. I also mean it when I tell you that there is no one in America that delivers a better sports flash than the great one.
Wow, your standards are low. With less than a week until the NFL draft, there's a lot of questions about moves that may or may not get made, but at least one team has made their intentions somewhat clear. The LA Chargers are willing to move out of the 5 spot. General Manager Joel Horty said it would take a very attractive offer to move, but with quarterbacks expected to come off the board 1, 2, 3, the possibility is there. We're like 6 days away from the draft. Cannot wait. The Gamecocks baseball team faces their toughest test of the year as they start a 3-game series against Arkansas this weekend. The number 2 ranked Razorbacks are 30-5 and just dropped from the number 1 spot this week. First pitch tonight is scheduled for 7 p.m. with a 3 p.m. start tomorrow and a 1:30 first pitch on Sunday. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and of course, a whole lot of fun. And you know what? It's all Wire to Wire.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.